Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guests, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we're going to be talking about religion, spirituality, who are the gurus, is there a God, why do we want to know that, what are the books and rules we are following, and what's really keeping us on track these days. I know for myself, someone had said to me about 5 years ago or so, he had a conversation, he said, are you religious or spiritual? And it kind of took me back. I said, what? What's the difference? And he said, well, do you believe in God and all the books and follow all the Catholic rules? Or are you the other? And he classified everything else as other under spirituality. Interesting story. And even so, about 2 weeks ago, I had a time when I saw there was someone on Facebook and he had written some really interesting books. And I emailed him and said, let's come on the show and be my guest. He emailed me back and says, well, I think you're more of a universalist mystic and I believe in the religion and I don't think we'd be a good mix. Wow. So what we're really doing today is we're creating a ripple effect. And what is that ripple effect? The ripple effect is it a book that's between two covers and we have to follow it and all of its rules or we get kicked out? And are there really people in this world that we would like to talk to, have conversations about how did we get here? Where are we going? What is this all-important world and universe all about? Yet we fear it. Or we get chastised, or we get kicked out of somewhere. It's really about opening up, reducing the fear, and saying, you know what, let's have a great conversation and see where this is going to take us. That's exactly what we're going to do today. My guest is J.A. Plosker. His book is The Nobody Bible, Uncovering the Simple Wisdom in Ordinary Life. J.A., thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So don't you think, you know, there's a lot of this going around where it's almost poof up in the air? Yes?
Well, yeah, it's sort of like this, sometimes it turns into this we versus they mentality where, you know, and people don't want to cross that line, you know, and I always find that a very interesting discussion.
You know, I'm in my 60s and I'm sure you're younger. And when I went to grade school, we had the nuns and here was your Catholic catechism and you had to memorize everything. And it was almost any time someone asked you a question about religion or God, you would spurt out page 4, second paragraph down, whatever that was. And that was the dogma and the way it was. And people pretty much went to church because they had a fear that if they didn't, the book said they did. Wow. Don't you think that that is really starting to evolve? Or maybe we're just hoping it's transforming?
Well, I think we're living in a world today of, you know, greater connection, you know, whether we want it or not. I mean, I certainly do, but, you know, I think when we have Facebook accounts or we have Twitter accounts, when we just get on the internet, even to search for things totally unrelated to religion and spirituality, you know, we're coming into contact with different people and different cultures. And I think the natural inclination is to start asking questions. So I think evolution a lot of times is a product of greater knowledge. And so whether people think about whether or not they want to evolve, they are. And I evolve not better or worse, just coming into contact with different people and different ways of thinking.
Yeah, and I think that to not fear the other ways of thinking. We used to think that it was a bad thing and it was always, you know, in other words, we had to shore up our walls and we had to be strong and courageous. And, you know, let go of all the demons and all the people out there who, quote, didn't agree with us, or they were always those other people, you
right.
know? And now we're finding that those walls are coming down. Yet, of course, you know, there's a lot of talk about putting some walls back up. But I think that
right.
the idea is, what can we do to be able to live in a world that's going towards a positive event versus saying it's going to be positive for me because this is what I want? You know, I see a lot of spiritual people these days, and they're like, I'm walking in the light. I'm not going to engage in any lower dimensions. I'm not going to be
right.
talking to anybody that, you know, has having a bump in their road. You know, and it's like, holy crap. You know, you think you're the only person on this earth and that maybe you don't, our energies don't mesh. You know, I think we get into this silo kind of living and we forget that it really all, each one is interdependent, yes?
Well, I think what something you said there was really struck a chord. And I think the idea that I kind of like to talk about in the book is the events of your day, you know, the things that come to you during your day, that's the opportunity for growth. If you're looking for spiritual or personal growth, it's the events in an ordinary day. That's, you know, the simple wisdom in ordinary life. And when you said, sometimes
right.
people get to a point where they say, well, I'm not going to, you know, bother with the drama of the world. I'm going to move past that. But if those things are coming at you, those are your opportunities to practice by embracing a little bit of drama, not creating it, but by
right.
embracing a little bit of drama, by acknowledging the darkness, by acknowledging that shadow. That's really where you get to test your tool. That's really the proving ground. You know, denying that, pretending it doesn't exist, that's actually, you know, plunging you further, in my opinion, further into a place of dark.
Right. And I think the dark will always show up until you decide to say, okay, I see you, I hear you, and I can dance with you. And then I'll say, okay, next time you show up, I can walk right through it, and it will not affect or, you know, have an effect on me. You know, because I think sometimes we get so struck that we have a fear of dark, or a fear of pain, a fear of hurt or loss or any of these other words you want or labels you want to put on it, that we end up being stuck in a paradigm of running away, thinking we're going to, yet we're really kind of just running in a circle.
Right, right. I think that's very true. When you walk out of a dark room and into the light, you know, that dark room is still back there. You know, there might be other people back there that you care about. There might be friends back there, events back there that you really need to engage with or deal with. So just because you're standing outside in the sun doesn't mean all your problems have gone away. And I think
right.
bringing some light back into that room is really, I think, a powerful message that people can hear, which is don't just escape the dark. Sometimes you have to go back in with a little bit of that light and help other people. Like we said,
mm-hmm.
make sure that you really have seen, quote, the light. I think that's an important point you made.
And also to the idea of when people say, well, I don't know what it really means and it scares me, I say to them, you know what, in the daytime the sun is out. You have one attitude, you have run your life one way. When you go into sleep mode, are you scaring? Are you scared because you have to shut out the light and it's dark? Are you afraid to close your eyes because you don't know where your dreams might take you? Or
yeah.
even then, are you afraid to close your eyes and say, hey, I might not wake up the next day? And my answer is, welcome in the dreams. Hey, say, cool, where are we going on an adventure tonight? You know, some days, even last night, I got up around I think it was 2 or 3, and I had to shake my head, and I said, oops, where am I? You know, it was like when I woke up, it was like, I don't know where I was before, and I don't know where I am now, but let's just shake myself, and maybe I'll get back into space, you know? And I think we have a lot of this, and yet we don't recognize that we shake it off. But really, these are opportunities to be able to recognize these experiences, and that's where we are right now. Because more and more people are having them. They're saying, you know, I don't get the dark. And I would say, okay, so go into the night, you know, go into your room at nighttime and just sit there in the darkness and say, what do I fear? Am I fearing anything? What's going
right.
on, you know? And
right.
but to dance with it, because when you dance with it, it has no more power. Yeah.
Well, yes, and that can take us back to that discussion of how the world is kind of evolving, these bridges of understanding. It's about embracing, like you just said, embracing the unknown. So if you're on a spiritual path and you're or a path of personal growth and you're looking for new tools, you're looking for new things to explore, maybe things that scared you when you were growing up, maybe things that scared you a few days
right.
ago, ideas, spiritual ideas, maybe if you learn a little bit more about them, study them, and like you said before, embrace them and dance with those ideas, they lose power over you and they become something that works with you. So this whole idea
right.
of embracing the other, embracing fear, exploring, evolving, we don't do these things by escaping. We do these things by engaging. And so, you know, the point you're making is well taken. It's excellent guidance for people to go into the dark and then question yourself and say, what am I really fearing here? Is this something that could actually help me?
Yeah. And your book, The Nobody Bible, it talks about many, quote, books of religion or dogma. And I think what we just spoke about right now was maybe how Socrates might have looked at it. Ask the questions, dance with it, be with it, and, you know, how cool that might be. And what I really think, you talk about many books in here. You talk about Buddha. You know, you talk about Moses, Confucius, about Tao, and also about Jesus and Brahman. And I think that's really kind of great because many people will say, I've got a religion and I need to live within the walls of that religion. And they're
right.
afraid to step out and say, what is my conceptual concept of the universe around me, how I choose to believe, you know? There are millions, billions, or whatever, I don't even know the number these days, of how many people are on the earth. Do we all need to be siloed into 10 religions or two
right.
or one, you know? And we think
right.
about that and we say, well, you know, but people start to say, but, you know, just like with healthcare, everybody needs to have universal healthcare. Well, guess what? Universal healthcare is just as individual for every single person going through the system as you can possibly imagine. All universal health care means is I got a sign on the door that says, get help here, you know? I mean, really, you know, I mean, the concept of, you know, being able to file it down and say, follow all of these rules, and then you'll be given a token at the end. So really what's constructing people and confining them to be able to ask questions, to be able to be out there and experience the world, don't you think?
Well, yeah, you know, the image that comes to mind for me when I think about that, you know, there's that image from Buddhism of the many-spoked wheel, but sometimes I think of the sun with the rays coming off it, you know, and
right.
my daughter, you know, one of the first things we drew together was, a sun, and we made the rays coming off it. And
mm-hmm.
if you just look at that picture, you kind of get the idea that no matter how many ways we want to express that heat, no matter how many ways we want to express that energy, the source is very similar. And, you know, so
right.
that image has always played an important role for me because there isn't just one, there might be or there might not be, I don't know, but there might be one
mm-hmm.
source of existence. But there are so many different ways of expressing that energy, and they all have heat, and they all bring light. And I think the exploration of those different paths is very important, whether or not it changes your mind, whether or not it's a path you want to follow. It's good to know your neighbors. It's good to know the other ways to go. And I do find a lot of value in that idea of many paths.
You know, it drives me crazy, and we always say we're looking for the truth, and we have to have the thing. In other words, we're going to give you a sentence, and it's going to be everybody's truth. It's like, I just don't get it, you know? Even when we look at the sky, we say that the sky is blue. It's a bazillion different shades of blue and a bazillion different for everybody.
Right.
I mean, so why are we so stuck on the truth? What the heck is the truth anymore? We're only saying we see the sun. What if that's a planet up there? How do we know it's the sun? Just because somebody told us? Do you know what I mean? If we took away all of the books and we kind of kicked them to the curb, and next day we just woke up and we had a different universe here. Are we going to say, oh, wait a minute, we have to get all the old books to figure out what everything is? No, we would go on another adventure and a journey to explore it with the potentials we have then, right? Versus always dragging our old dogma and stuff with us.
That's an interesting thought experiment. You know, is you know, when I was teaching philosophy and we would start talking about knowledge, you know, a lot of times the questions that you pose in a philosophy class students kind of laugh at because they seem like they don't have any basis in reality.
Right.
But if you look at a class and you say something similar to what you just said, everybody close your eyes and pretend we've wiped the slate clean. Now open your eyes to a new world. Do you think that the same truths you lived by 2 seconds ago would be the same truths you would cling to now? And you can have whole discussions about that. What about people who are colorblind and see colors differently?
Right.
And you're insisting a color looks one. Well, one color can have many experiences. So these are great questions to ask, and they have a real purpose. They have a purpose of building awareness, of building bridges, of getting us to really, really question the things that we believe and test those things against how we perceive reality to be. So I think it's an important thought experiment you're proposing.
And also, too, the idea, you know, when people go to psychics on TV, you know, or whatever, and they say, oh, well, they're telling me things about, you know, my loved ones have passed on. Well, what they're really doing, and you'll see, is that they're bringing thoughts, feelings, and senses into their being, and they're translating them into the 3D world and language in which we are in right now. Well, you know what? It may or may not be that true. In other words, we're bringing things in and experiencing them based upon our history, based upon the 27 letters of the alphabet, and how it's been arranged to be able to be reproducible and to validate where we are today. In other words, if we looked at the sun today, and the only reason we know it is sun is because it's spelled S-U-N, it's orange, it's showing up in the right place. We're all basing it on history. So if we all of a sudden wipe the slate clean and there is no more history to be able to base our thoughts on, we're coming from something new. And isn't that really what children are when they're born? They don't know that that's a sun. They don't know what the heck that thing is. It's only because you tell them it is so. So how can we step out and say we would like to explore our world in a different area other than many of the books of religion, many of the books of dogma that's out there right now, and say, I have to follow something because other than that, I'll have nothing.
That can be a product of many things. For some people, there's this idea of security. For others, it's fear. For others, it's a sense of nourishment. So you could have one religious book, one religious ritual, and that one thing can have such a different meaning. And again, we come back to this interesting wipe the slate clean. If you wiped everybody's memories and took that same ritual, you would have to once again define in the moment what that means for you. So when people engage in things like meditation or mindfulness, sometimes what that's about is stopping yourself, stopping your thoughts, questioning your biases, questioning your truths, so that these are tools where even in the moment, even with all your history behind you, there are some tools that come down to us that can help us to stop ourselves right in this moment, question those truths, and choose a new path. So even though it isn't necessarily possible to wipe that slate clean, we do have tools that can make it possible to get on that questioning path. And that's difficult. That's hard. It takes a lot of discipline. It takes a lot of discipline to do that.
You know, it's funny. I saw a sign at a local art gallery here in New Orleans. And it said guided meditation on Tuesdays. And I kind of was like asking the person questions and stuff, figuring an artist might have had more of an open concept of life. And I kind of went away and I was kind of like, doesn't sound right. Stepped outside the door and it hit me. Just like all of a sudden, like a neon sign in my head, it said, guided. Where the heck are you going to guide me to? Where you want to go? And I went, ooh, I don't want anybody guiding my meditation. You know what I'm saying? And we think about that, and people don't even realize that many people are guiding you still, even in the practices in which you're trying to get away from, you know?
Yeah.
And we say guided meditation is like, well, I'm going to take you here, and then we go here, and then you go here, and then you go there, and it's like, well, holy darn, I didn't go anywhere where you told me. And then they get hooked onto the guru or the template or the other way of doing something instead of being able to be open to a potential possibility, right?
Well, that's certainly true. But I think a lot of times when we're doing something new, just like, look, whether we're learning to, you know, throw a piece of clay and make a pot or whether we're learning to do brain surgery, there's always going to be a first time. There's always going to be a need at the start for some kind of mentoring to kind of get us on the path. So I think there is value in guidance. But like you're saying, there is also value in knowing when to blaze your own path. Because
right.
I think we can sometimes get stuck in the idea of, so I've been going to this place for 20 years, or I've been learning from this teacher for 30 years. At what point do we feel confident enough to step out and say, okay, it's time to blaze my own path? So that's that mm-hmm. dance you have to do between guidance and being pulled around. And that's part of what the exploration is all about, I think.
And that's really what your book is about, the Nobody Bible. It takes you through each of the religions, and it says, what about this? What about that? What about that? And it asks some questions. So eventually you come at the back of the book, and there's an exercise section where you can write some answers in, and you could say, you know what? I think this. And it's totally, you aren't referencing back to the other pages. You're just saying, oh, here's my answer to this. Here's my thought to this. And it's not something that is shoving you or cramming you into a spot that you kind of feel forced in, don't you think?
Well, right. And so I tell you where you wrote that first answer, but I don't make you go back there. So,
right.
you know, your answers can change between page 1 and page 262. That's totally fine. So what the book is doing is it's not really untethering you from everything. What it's doing is showing you, hey, you know, there may be strings that you've never explored. There may be places you've never looked. There may be ideas you want to explore. For some people, they need to be more grounded in a practice. Other people are looking for more liberation. You should feel free to explore that. And all I'm saying in the book, really, as far as the religions is, I just want to show you, here are some things that come to us from ancient times. Here's how they're operating in your day. You think there might be something here that can help? If not, that's okay too. So we look to the past, we look to the present, and we look to the future to have an experience, to try to find out what motivates you and who you really are.
And it really does make a huge difference. It kind of lets you, quote, off the hook of running your day for a reason. You know, I mean, with Catholics, the idea of mortal sin, that you're born into it and it's something you've got with you till the day you die, you know, it's sort of like you always feel like you're less than, under the gun, not enough, always everything you do is, quote, wrong, and you always have to do some kind of penance, you know what I mean? Everything you do has got to have a penance because it isn't always right. So I think sometimes it lets you off the hook and says, you know what, you did your best. You were able to do, you know, what you could. And also in your book, you talk about the Book of Brahman, you know, hey, we always got karma around, you know, karma's going to kick you in the butt. It's coming down the track, you know. And even so, I live in New Orleans, you know, here comes the voodoo lady. She's going to get you. I just know it. And then, you know, they even called me a voodoo priestess and a shaman one day, you know, and I'm going, oh, okay. You know, I mean, I tend to collect these labels. It's like, I just don't know what I appear to people as, but I think it's also too, the idea is that, isn't it so, I mean, life really becomes so blossoming and so full when you dance with all of these thoughts and all of these experiences versus being stuck into, I work, I have kids, this is my dogma, I go to the church, I do this, I do that, and boom, I'm dead, because that's what they said, you know. And I think that it really allows our spirit and our soul to expand versus saying that this is the human existence I bought into.
Well, when I was a social work counselor and I was working with clients, and I would ask them repeatedly about small steps. So a lot of times I think people want to just release themselves completely from their past, or they just want to go back to the thing that always made sense. And sometimes we have to calm down and think to ourselves, okay, what are the things in my life that I have going on that really serve me? You know, I love being a father. I personally love it. It's wonderful. I love being a husband. It's wonderful. But then there are other things that have gone on in my life. I'm like, you know, I don't really think that serves me. So I would have to take small steps to make that kind of change. So I think what you said before was very interesting about doing the things we do because someone told us that's what we have to do. Well, it's okay to do those things, but they need to serve you. And if you have situations that you can't change that aren't serving you, then you have to find ways to reframe. And a lot of what the Nobody Bible is talking about in a subtext is these are tools that you can use right now to help you reframe your day. You know, look at this picture of yin-yang. Stare at this. Does this make you think about how you achieve balance in your life? Think about this concept of the Ten Commandments. You know, maybe you don't follow them, but is there something in them that you can hold on to, like honor your mother and father? Maybe just pick up the phone and give your parents a call. Maybe there are little things you can do that come down to us through the ages that can help you sort through your life and find a little more peace, a new frame, a new way of approaching the world. So it's really for everybody and for any purpose.
You know, I think it's so interesting when you talk about the Book of Confucius and the yin and the yang symbol. I've said many times on the radio show before is that this idea of balance, people think that balance is on the tip of the pin and after they have to live.
Right.
And I always say to them, balance is not the tip of the pin. Balance is flow. And I almost think that I would like to kick the word balance out of the language. And I have a list of bunch of words that we're kicking out, and balance has got to go. I said, because really, if you look at the yin and the yang, the black and the white, it's flow. It is not gray. Gray is balance. We don't live in that state. It's sort of like when people get Botox. Well, before you have the Botox, you're wrinkly. And at the moment you have Botox, you look tight. Well, 2 seconds after walking out of that office, you're already on a degrading downward spiral. There is no, quote, balance that you don't stay in a point of stagnation. You don't stay in that point of bliss. You don't stay in that point of darkness. The idea is to be able to flow within all of these aspects of your life, but not to have them override you so that you can't see the other. In other words, you might be feeling really crappy today. Oh, cool, you know, but you might open the window and then you'll feel better. That's a flow. You know, you have the opportunity or the potential for flow. So you have the opportunity and potential to make decisions. You have the opportunity and potential to see something differently. And to feel that you have that choice and that free will is really what we're talking about, too, in religion, because many times some religions will say, or some books or some, people that have spoken many, many, you know, eons ago will say, no, you have no free will, you have no choice. And really what we're saying now is look at all your potential. I think we are really at the point of experiencing the full potential of the world, and we've probably never been here at any other time in our life.
Well,
right?
I think we're being forced now to make some really difficult decisions because everything's very close. Everything's very now. And I think we're trying to learn. You put an image, there's an image that just popped into my head about boundaries. And we can be creative within the boundaries of our life, I think. If you have a canvas to paint on, that canvas sets a boundary. But within that boundary, we can create worlds. We can create meaning. We can create religions. We can create universes within that. So I think if we're just starting out, or even if we're well along the path, whatever that means, I think we need to embrace boundaries as well. I think it is a nice ideal to think about busting out beyond all boundaries. But I think there's also something very exquisite and useful about embracing boundaries and seeing just how creative, just how free we can be within them right now, but always knowing we can bust past them. So that image popped into my head before when you were talking about that, about that idea of freedom.
Well, also to the idea when you say a boundaries, the boundaries is our limitations of being a human in the world. Our boundary is also to, we can't turn around and fly like a bird. We can't turn around and
right.
swim like a fish. Those are boundaries.
Right.
However, if I said to you, I'd like you to color a picture, and you said, okay, where's my crayons or paint? Because that's the only way I can, quote, put color into a picture. I would say, no, I want you to go out in the backyard and find something and color me a picture. And I would go out and I would pick up grass and I would make a green color. I would go pick up a rock, and that would make a brown or a silver color. I could pick up some dirt, and that would be a different color, you know, and find some flowers, and you could scratch it across the top, and that's a different color. So that's really taking something to the nth degree and saying, explore. Yes,
yes.
Room and limits, but boy, you could still explore. And that's the journey, I think, that we're looking for.
Well, and that can be applied. See, then that is about, that's that idea that kind of grounds us and says, look, I'm not denying, because, you know, when you're trying to, if somebody comes to you and is seeking help a lot, you know, asking for some advice about the spiritual path, the first piece of advice can't be, bust past all your boundaries. That's going to scare people.
Right.
Your approach, this metaphor of acknowledging the boundary and then seeking ways to test those limits. What a beautiful
mm-hmm.
metaphor that is for ways to explore personal growth, for ways to explore spirituality. And the Nobody Bible is my little contribution to that. Look, you know, somebody told you to paint a picture. I'm telling you there are more crayons in the box. There are more things in the yard that maybe, you know, I was doing a group around the book, and somebody came up to me and said, I didn't even know this was a religion. And I was like, oh, well, yeah. And they said to me, and it's amazing. I never realized that there was so much in that tradition that mirrored my own, busting a boundary. And big time. You know, it seems small to me because I'm like, oh, that's wonderful. And I went on. But to that person, that could be worlds of meaning opening up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, it met her where she was. It met her where her boundary was and then pushed it an inch. Great.
Right. And, you know, I think the idea, too, of there's got to be something greater out there than us. I've said on the show repeatedly, we aren't getting bombarded every day by storks flying overhead, dropping people on the ground. There is magic and mysticism in the world. Sorry, guys, you got it. You just got to somewhere have to come to some point of, you know, as they say, meeting of Jesus moment where somewhere something is grander. And it's all playing in this. And, you know, I've shared the story before. When I would go into open heart surgery, I did this for many years, and stand and watch as they drain the blood out of the person and put it in the machine across the room, perfusion machine. And then you work on a heart where the person is virtually not alive. And then you're watching, you know, and they're drugged all the way down to the brain is almost not functioning too. Then all of a sudden you just decide to pump this red stuff into someone and poof, they come alive. And you go, holy darn, you know, how the heck did that happen, you know? And you've got to believe that there's something else there, you know? Like, where was the life force of that person? Is it somewhere in their body? Is it floating up in the operating room in the sky, or is it in the red stuff on the other side of the machine? And you go, I don't know. But you know what? It's so eye-opening to explore these thoughts, because then you start to look at them in other parts of your life. In other
right.
words, you might not always have the answers, but asking the questions and exploring things is really the journey. Versus always saying, oh, I came to the end and this is what I believe and I'm done with it, close the book. So I think really it's about living a life of exploration that we're really talking about, don't you think?
I agree. You know, that concept of exploration is really the whole thing. I mean, when we set out on a journey, whatever it is, whether it's a spiritual journey, a journey to be a parent, you know, for first-time parents, it doesn't really matter how many children you've been around or how many siblings you had. It's when you become a first-time parent, you're starting this very long journey of mystery,
right,
of the unknown. You know, where, why isn't the poop coming out today? Why isn't the food going in today? Why?
Right.
Things change, and you have to, like you said, flow with those changes. And so we have to give ourselves over to that mystery, because if we don't, we get completely wrapped up in a need to know. And sometimes, honestly, there may not be anything to know. There may just be something to flow. That's it. And
right,
it may not be for you to know the reason. So I agree. I think whatever your thoughts about God, whatever your thoughts about spiritual energy or quantum physics, the idea isn't to find truth necessarily. The idea is to explore around that idea of truth and see where it takes you. And if you come to the end of your days and you've found that truth, great. If you come to the end of your days and you've only started to scratch the surface, well, you know, that's great too. Both of those reflect a journey. So explore and journey. That's the fun. That's the joy. That's the joy of being alive.
You know, so many times we look at things and we say, this is what it's going to be, and we kind of lose our force, our vital force. We lose our exploration ideas. I see this a lot with end-of-life clients or people who are elderly. And the elders these days, I mean over the age 50, I don't even mean the age over 65 anymore, because sometimes people will say, all of what I thought before isn't working anymore, and they kind of lose their life force. But really, if you look at it, that's part of the now awakening of spirituality path, where loss of identity is a very much a key. Once you lose your identity to that which you were attached to, then and only then can you be able to find out who you actually are. I think sometimes we even look at, a lot of physicians have said, you know, I took up the Book of Buddha. I started to look at it. I quit my practice. They said I had bipolar. They said I had anxiety. I almost committed suicide, because they were so locked in and boxed in that they just said, there's got to be another answer in this world. And how the heck? I'm either going to jump off the roof or I'm going to jump into something else. And they let all of their identity go. And once we release a lot of those attachments, people say, I lost my job. I don't have my kids around me anymore. And they take that as a negative, versus taking that as a stepping stone, don't you think?
Well, right. You know, but we always have to remember, and it's so, it's such an important thing to remember, you can't release your identity really until you acknowledge that it's there. So some people, you know, we read these stories about people who do have maybe a spontaneous enlightenment. Maybe they had that guru that could just touch them between the eyes. Some people have a death experience. I won't even say a near-death experience. Some people have a death experience.
Right.
They come back changed. But for the other billions of us on the planet that doesn't necessarily happen for, we have to find tools that help us dig and discover who we are. What is my identity? Because once, you know, we talk about letting it go, but we can't let it go. We can't let these things go until we know what they are and whether or not they serve us. And that's what's so beautiful about talking to people who have had these life changes, is because they can often chart for you the moment it changed. It can chart for you the conversation that set them on a new path, the person that changed their life, the question they asked that set them in a new direction. That's very exciting. And the reason they know that moment is because they came to that moment. They arrived at that moment. And so that's yet another reason to engage in exploration. Whether you do it through the Nobody Bible or not, doesn't matter. The point is, whatever works for you, get on that path of exploration, because that's what's really going to define your search. Truth doesn't really define the search. It's the searching, it's the exploring around those concepts. That's what brings you to your goal.
And in reality, I mean, I've had so many of those. I can, you know, I mean, we'd be here for days. But many of those times, and what I really do believe, and many times people have reflected this also, is that you may not even know where you are on the path. You may not even know what drag you're wearing. You don't even know what color the day is, and you don't even know how big the hole is you're going to step in. And the answer is just keep going, because it's only in reflection that you can see that which the path you have come. And right. Sometimes many people will say, oh, but I have to see it. Where am I? Where's the road sign? And the answer is, don't look for the road sign or the answer, because you haven't gotten to the place yet. When you get wherever that is or whatever that moment might be, it's when you look back a time later that you really see the power of the moment. I think almost everyone will say to you, oh, well, I know when it was. It was here. It was there. And then you're talking to people who are really struggling and you want them to get it. They're not going to get it because they, in other words, they're still in the abyss and you're asking them to tell you what color the sky is. Well, how the heck can I tell you what color the sky is? I'm still stuck in the abyss. The abyss is white. I'm just still on this journey, and it really sucks monkey butts, but this is where I am. And the answer is fabulous. You know, stop asking them. Just assist them through the journey, right?
Right, and that's you actually, that's something I was going to go to in my days as social worker and whatnot. The answer to what does it look like is it looks like this. Well, how will I know? Well, you may not. I mean, it's this. You always have to counter this need in all of us. By the way, there's this need for answers. But sometimes the answer is just, why did I break my leg? Well, sometimes the answer is because it broke. That's the answer. You can't necessarily spend your day searching for greater meaning behind a broken leg. Sometimes you just have to be in it and experiencing it and understand that now a broken leg comes with patience and healing and rest, and coming to terms with not being able to do the things that you did yesterday. That's the answer. That's it. That's the moment. And then, like you said, later on in reflection, you may realize that that was a great changer for you. But right now, sitting with it, with your leg raised and the remote in your hand, that's your lesson.
That's the most perfect place to be. The moment, if you have a question, then the perfect place is where you are in the moment. If you ever question it, the answer to say, this is the perfect moment. Even if you're in a struggle, this is the perfect moment. Because as soon as you recognize this is the perfect moment, it takes away that justification that you've got to be somewhere else. It's like, why do I have to be somewhere else? Because wherever I am is wrong. It's not good enough. It isn't the place. It is darkness, it's danger, you know, all of that other stuff, those labels that we tend to put on ourselves. And I think that if we keep saying we have to be holy, we have to be better, we have to have empathy and compassion, blah, blah, blah. And really where we are today is, you know, like you said with your broken leg, I mean, it hurts, get out of my way, bring me my food, and you better hurry up. Well, that's where you are today, you know? I mean, honor where you are. You know, if you're not in that great place that some may classify it as such, honor where the heck you are and just be with it, right?
Right. And a key point here, is this doesn't dismiss suffering. This doesn't dismiss the fact that people have life difficulties. Nobody's negating that or saying they're not real. What it does is it helps to focus you. So if you think about it in like the simple, ordinary tool, when things are going, I'll use it in quotes, relatively well, and you find that you're very, very nervous and anxious, even when things are going well, well, that means that when things get super difficult, you can ramp that up by a million. So a good place to start sometimes is take stock of how you feel when you think things are going well. So then when you hit a very emotional moment, a tragedy, you have more energy stored up in that moment to put towards the things you need to take care of. And that's something I always stress to people is it's not about never being anxious or never being depressed. It's about noticing within you when anxiety and depression overcome you and questioning what's going on in the moment, being in the moment so that you can learn to conserve energy. You can learn to get past those feelings when things seem to be going well. Because when things get really tough, we need a lot more energy. So nobody denies that life is full of difficulty. The only thing I think mindfulness folks are saying is embrace this moment for what it is now because it will help you conserve the energy you need to really deal when times get difficult. At least that's something I used to talk to people about, and I found that it helped them because they were much more mindful in their quiet time than they had been before because they really wanted to see, are there places I'm wasting energy? Are there places I can put that energy back so that I'm not wasting it, so that I have it when I really need it? It was important to them.
And also, I see a lot of time, you know, in closing, when we say people with a struggle, or they always want to get back to, I want to get back to how I used to look. I want to get back to how I used to feel. I want to get back to whatever all that is. Sometimes what they are really reflecting back is that they've never quite been in touch with themselves, who they are. They were really attached to the identity or the experience that they believed brought them that sense of bliss, you know?
Right,
and,
right.
And that will lead you on a very empty road eventually. And that's, you know, and then you'll come to your spot, and then you'll be able to recognize and go through things, and you'll get to that place. But also, too, the idea is that when that type talk does come up, it's to be able to say, oh, there it is. Now I hear what they're saying. Now, okay, I'm noticing that some shift might be start occurring. And then when I say to them, oh, great, stand up, shake and shimmy. Because you know what? Hey, we're on a good place. We got it. We're recognizing it. We notice it. Hey, here it comes. Okay, cool. Even if it is not the sense that you want to be,
right,
it is a sense that you will be in the present moment. I think we reflect so much back on save me, hero, savior, gurus, that we get stuck in the point that we are the only ones that have power over ourselves. We have the only power is within us. And to forget that and keep believing that it's outside of yourself will lead you on a journey of always having less or sensing less. And when you can bring it back in, is really when you go into that time that this is what it's all about. Now I'm starting to get it, right?
And I think that's a good point. I think we can take what people have to offer. We can take what the world traditions have to offer. You know, but people can tell us a million times to just jump. I've done it. I was there before you. Just jump. But at the end of the day, it's your two legs that have to carry you over the divide. And that piece of information is what takes courage on a spiritual journey. And so what I'm hoping to offer people are just a few tools in the tool belt to gain the courage, to gain the knowledge, to really accept and embrace that journey, because it's important.
Well, what we've done today, J.A., I think we've really gone through the questions, the ideas, and we've shared our own experiences, and I really think that's what the ripple effect is really all about, is about sharing so that others can say, you know what, okay, ooh, I'm not so scared today. I'm not so fearful. Maybe I can just take one thing that might be holding me back and just let it go, or one attachment or cord, and say, I now release you and I'm good, and see what the next day will bring. So thank you so much for joining us. Can you share with the listeners how to find out more information about you?
Sure. You know, I have a group on Facebook called Simple Spirituality. So if you type in Nobody Nation, you'll find a group called Simple Spirituality. Or you can join my Facebook page at Nobody's View, or follow me on Twitter at Nobody's View. And you can also find out more at thenobodybible.com or nobodysview.com. And I'd love to hear from your listeners.
Well, thank you so much for joining with us. I think many times people will say, I've been doing it really great for a couple of years, maybe a few decades, join my world. And we say, you know what, I kind of hit a little bump. I think I'm going to check something else out, and that's really what we're talking about. So thank you so much for joining that.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate the time.
Thank you. If you'd like to find out more information about J.A. Plosker, again, the book is The Nobody Bible, Uncovering the Simple Wisdom in Ordinary Life. Please do click on the bottom of today's show page, and you'll go directly to his website. We will also include the Facebook and the Twitter information, so you just have to click on there, and you should go directly to those pages. And it's really about being able to say, you know what, all is okay. All is well. All is in perfect order, period. That's what we're saying. The scariness, the fearfulness, the greatness, the bliss, all of that is around it. But in the middle, all is okay. So for today, all be well. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Till tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.